This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to This Week in Sports, This Week in the NFL, Super Bowl week here. We're here with our big Super Bowl preview. Excited to be here. Had to take a week off due to the Cowboys' taxing schedule, which has reared its ugly head a couple of times this year, unfortunately. But we're back with a vengeance, recording here on Thursday night before the Super Bowl, Niners-Chiefs. I'm here with my two co-hosts, because I feel like that's the way this has gone. The spice has made its way up to the top of the rack, as they say. So, first, one, the only long-standing co-host, John D'Amato. How you doing, John?
Awesome. Three-man booth. Permanent.
Permanent three-man booth.
Everybody better get used to it. It only enhances the product. Great to be with you guys. It was great to hang with you guys this weekend. Sorry we had a bye week, but we were going to recap the championship games. But one would have been took about 30 seconds to recap, and the other would be about maybe 5-10 minutes. So we didn't really miss much.
That's true. What you really missed was the recap of my weekend in Vegas, where if you listen to the show. You know, the championship games didn't go super well for me, but that's besides the point. No big deal. And also, so his probationary period is over. He passed with flying colors. We didn't have to get human resources involved at all, which was that was big. The one, the only, Cowboy Senior. What's up, Dad?
Hey, how you doing? Great to be with you guys again. This is going to be a fun night. Going over those two games and mostly previewing the next one. Usually the 2 week hype is like crazy, but I think we're headed for a game that's worth the 2 week wait, and can't wait for it. We got the two best teams. I don't think anybody can dispute that, and it's going to be a blast.
Absolutely. Look at analysis right out of the gate, right during the intro. They're in the intro.
I love it too.
So before we get into football, just want to talk about really quickly. So on Sunday, there was a very horrible tragedy, and we're a sports show, and this one kind of touched me personally. I'm sure you guys too. But I thought we could talk a little bit about Kobe Bryant and kind of what he meant from a sports perspective as a basketball player. Obviously awful. I was very, very shaken up by this. I mean, I was trying to explain it to my 10-year-old nephew who I spend a lot of time with, and there's like, it was kind of like Magic and Bird and then Jordan, right? And then Kobe and now LeBron essentially, and you don't know who's going to take over after that, but those are, you know, really face of the NBA kind of guys and just larger than life guys and icons. And just an awful tragedy, but an amazing player. I mean, I rooted against the guy his whole career, beginning to end. And a couple of things. I was lucky enough. I lived in Phoenix during the Nash era Suns run, and I had split season tickets with a few of my friends, and I was fortunate enough to see they played the Lakers a bunch of times in the playoffs during that run. And these were not like the great Laker teams. These were the teams that were, you know, if barely over 500. And if Kobe wasn't on the team, they would have been 10-72. But I could, you know, just from being in the building during playoff games that he was a part of. It just, I mean, I saw them play the Spurs. Like, I went to the Spurs game after Robert Horry, you know, body checked Nash into the scorers table. So, you know, it just always felt different with Kobe out there. Just every time he touched the ball, just the reaction he would get from the crowd. And I think, you know, there's very few guys who the game, you know, regardless of the outcome, regardless of who he had around him, the game really just felt bigger because he was in it. And much like Derek Jeter, I softened quite a bit on him as his career was winding down, and really, really kind of appreciated the greatness that he brought to the table, and just like really what a joy it was to watch him for 20 years, and to even rooting against him. Obviously, I'm a Celtics fan, and the Celtics split championship series with the Lakers. It was great beating him. It was terrible losing to him. It was even the game they lost, the game seven they lost to him, is one of his worst performances shooting wise. But he really kind of willed that team to victory. Like, they really had no business winning that game. And then I'll never forget his last game in the TD Garden, the last game in Boston. The fans like booed the hell out of him at the beginning of the game, and you could tell he loved it. And then to show him the appreciation, the Kobe chants at the end of the game, and his comments after the game, he gave about a 3-minute interview after the game to the Boston fans, saying, "You guys drove me. I appreciate you so much. You drove me." And just a horrible tragedy. I just wanted to say a few words that he was really, you know, we're gonna miss him. He was raising a girl who really looked like she was a great basketball player already. He was giving back through stuff with the kids. He was going to be a great ambassador for the league, and it's just, you know, it just shows you that we all worry about little stuff sometimes, and give people a hug, enjoy every day, because who the hell knows? Because I mean, that guy's my age, and before Sunday, anyone my age would have traded places with him in a second, and it just boom, it's gone, just like that. So, we love you, Kobe. We'll miss you, and rest in peace. I don't know if you guys have anything to add.
No, that was great. That was great, Raj. I can't really top much more what you said. It was just for us older guys like senior, we remember it was similar to when we lost Dermot Munson. A lot of you guys, young guys weren't around for that, but me and senior were, and it was very similar. And he was still active, and he was one of the top players in baseball. So it was very similar, and just a tragedy. But we can't top what you said, Roger. That was a good tribute.
Yes, definitely in his career, an arch rival, me being a big homer, huge Celtics fan. From the beginning, I always really respected Kobe. I remember when it was earlier in LeBron's career, and the question was beginning already, like, who was the best player in the league? And is it LeBron or Kobe? And I think you can remember, Raj, as I used to say it to you, that the reason I respected Kobe more was at that point in LeBron's career, when it came to crunch time and important games, he tended to want to distribute the ball to someone else. And Kobe always was willing to take the responsibility and not be afraid to fail. He wanted the ball. He wanted to take all the big shots. He was a really, really gifted basketball player, but what made him one of the all-time greats was, on top of being so talented, one of the most ferocious competitors you'll ever see in professional sports. He was one of those guys with that just will to win and hate to lose mentality that drove him so much that's really part of why he was so great, and really a big reason why I always respected him so much. And obviously he was doing some great things beyond basketball now. It's one of the most heartbreaking things you can ever imagine. Thoughts that ran through my mind was there were probably at least a number of seconds, if not minutes, that he probably knew that they were in trouble. And you're there with your young daughter, and as a father and as someone with two daughters, I can't even imagine what that moment must have been like. I'm sure he was all about telling her everything was going to be okay and wrapping his arms around her. And it's a gut-wrenching thing to think about. But thanks for all the memories, Kobe. The world's missing him already. One of the real icons of basketball in my lifetime, no doubt about it. That's can't say too much more. That's about it.
All right, very good. Thank you, Senior. So on to the Super Bowl. So as John said, I think we can, you know, I don't think we have to recap the two games, you know, Kansas City and the Niners both won. They're there. So we can kind of do the recap as we talk about the Super Bowl. The way I like to do this, if you guys are cool with it, is kind of talk about the individual matchups. So, you know, maybe start with the KC offense versus the San Francisco defense, and then kind of turn that around. San Francisco offense versus the KC defense, and then maybe some predictions, score, winner, MVP, etc. How's that sound, guys?
Awesome.
That's good.
All right. So, being the giver that I am, I won't start either conversation. So, we'll go with John. We haven't heard from you that much tonight. So, the two dominant performers in this game, right? The unstoppable force and the immovable object. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City offense versus Nick Bosa, Richard Sherman, and the San Francisco 49ers defense. What do you think, John?
Well, first of all, Kansas City's got to get off to a better start. They're not going to be able to get away with falling asleep at the wheel like they did the first in the two playoff games, falling behind 24-0 and 10-0. Travis Kelce better catch the first couple passes. The last couple games, he usually needs to warm up by dropping a couple, and that's not going to fly because this is going to be a close game, and every point is going to count. But I think it's going to be Mahomes' elusiveness that's going to drive the San Francisco pass rush a little crazy. You saw he's just got that something that Russell Wilson, like kind of like Gumby. He's not like Lamar Jackson where he's like fast and powerful. He just so elusive. That play on the sidelines, although I do blame the Titans pretty piss poor tackling on that run. That run was kind of like remember that Steve Young run? That's one of the highlight runs of all time. That classic Steve Young touchdown run where he kind of rambled and stumbled and looked like he was falling over. It was so elusive on the sidelines where it looked like he was going to go out of bounds, but he had that timeout in his pocket, so he cut back. And then Brock Sr. made just a horrible attempt at a tackle, just trying to go for the ball. And I think Mr. Saleh's defense is going to emphasize that if you get a chance when Mahomes is a runner like that, make sure you get a good lick on him. Don't try to injure him, but just get a clean, good lick on him. Don't let him dance around like that, like he did versus Tennessee. But overall, I'll give the edge to the Chiefs' offense in this case. And I want to ask you guys: we know like the main narrative is that it's the high-powered Chiefs' offense versus the tough San Francisco defense. So. Or whatever, but who would you guys say scored more points this year, KC or San Francisco?
Well, I'm guessing it's a loaded question. San Francisco had some crazy games, like the one against New Orleans.
It's only by a few points, but it is San Francisco. And on the opposite, who gave up more points, San Francisco or KC? The answer is San Francisco too, which is surprising. It's not by much, but. It is because of those few games where San Francisco got bombed by New Orleans and they played like Seattle twice. Their defense went to a rough spot. So.
Yeah, and Mahomes had those sad a little bit. He had the knee injury, and they still put up points without him. But yeah, so yeah, John gives the edge to the Chiefs' offense. What say you, Senior?
Well, it's a great matchup. It really is. I mean, the San Francisco defense is great, but the question is, can anybody stop that offense? I mean, San Francisco's got a great pass rush, but Mahomes' mobility could neutralize that some. And when Mahomes does escape the pass rush, he's got one of the two premier tight ends, receiving tight ends in football, who both happen to be playing in this game at his disposal, and the rest of the guys are a track team. And obviously Tyreek is one of the best wide receivers in football and also part of the track team. So it is a tall, tall order. I mean, I think the 49ers like to play zone, and I think they're going to play a lot of zone, and I think what they're going to try to do is keep guys in front of them, limit the big plays, because certainly, I mean, the Chiefs don't need a short field to score. They can score on one play from anywhere on the field. They love the big play. They love the home run more than anybody else. So I think the 49ers might be, if you want to call it successful, successful in forcing them to do something different. I don't think they're going to let guys get behind them. And I think Mahomes, and especially with Andy Reid's smart offensive mind, are going to have to be patient and take what they give them. However, even throwing the ball underneath, if it's Tyreek or, you know, Damian Williams, or these guys can turn it into a big play from underneath. And I'll have a little comment on that after as to who I think is a key player in this game. But yeah, I go along with John. As good as that San Francisco defense is, I have to give the edge in the matchup to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to get their points. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to get 40, but they're going to get their points against the San Francisco defense. And here are the two guys that I'm considering key. Number one, against his own, obviously, Kelce. I think Kelsey's got to catch a lot of balls in this game and be getting open in the middle of the field in the seams of his own. And the other guy, he leads the NFL in average yards after catch, average yak. And I think you get him the ball underneath and he can turn it into a big play. And I'm not talking about Tyreek, even though obviously he can do it as well. Mecole Hardman, I believe, averages about 12.5 yards after catch on every reception he gets. And I think he's the sneaky player that has a big game, not super big made, that has a big game in this game because of the way they're going to defend. He's liable to break something from underneath. That's kind of what I'm anticipating. So edge to the Chiefs offense, but I think the 49er defense isn't going to just get ruled over like they do to some teams. But if you ask me, edge, definitely edge to the Chiefs offense.
All right, Mecole Hardman. So let's check this. I'm gonna check this out real quick here. Let me know if we can. Let me know if that's going to be available. But let's see. Say senior, you might be able to. There you go. Mecole Hardman over under is 21.5 yards receiving. So senior, you're going with the big over there. Big over.
I think that's one play. Yeah, he doesn't have to get a lot of catches to get that, you know. And the fact that they're going to play zone, I'm telling you, you're going to be looking for that little yak guy, to come, you know, to catch something underneath and then just go with it. And yeah, he's not the guy that you're looking for the most. You're thinking about the most if you're the 49er D. That's for sure. You know, with the group of weapons that Pat has at his disposal. So yeah, not only is Mahomes the best quarterback in the league, he's got an unbelievable group of skilled players to work with. And that offense is just ridiculous, really.
So, yeah, I kind of agree with you guys. I agree with what you said, Senior, that the Niners are going to try to not give up the big play. I do think that Saleh's number one priority is going to be keeping Mahomes in the pocket. Not that he's not deadly from the pocket, but he's kind of got that Aaron Rodgers in him that when he's outside the pocket, he's, even if he's not running, I mean, just throwing too, he's real, real deadly. So I think that'll be the strategy. Keep him in the pocket, make him sort of dink and dunk their way downfield, and hope you can make an opportune play or two. So not a terrible strategy. The Niners have a good defense, and they had injuries during the year, and everybody's healthy now. And they've looked, I mean, they looked really good last week against Green Bay. So I do think it's an edge to the Chiefs offense, but more of a, I don't think the Niners are going to shut them down or anything, but I certainly don't think that they're going to go up and down the field like they have been. Houston and Tennessee's defenses are both, significantly inferior to the to the Niners, in my opinion. The Niners are, you know, good unit, good talent, and, you know, Bosa specifically has a lot of speed, which is helpful against a quarterback like that. So we'll see. I think it's a premier matchup. I predict that the Chiefs will score 24 points. So if you consider that a win for the Niners, then maybe I'm saying it's the Niners win. What do you guys think? I think 24.
If they hold them to 24, that's a win. That's definitely a win for the Niners.
All right.
If they hold them to 24, they win the game.
So let's talk about how they might win the game. So the other matchup, Niners offense against the Chiefs defense. So we'll start with you, Senior.
Yeah, the much-improved Chiefs defense. I mean, the Niners offense totally dominated the line of scrimmage last week. I mean, but you got to say, you can't help but attribute a lot of it to Green Bay's run defense just being ridiculous. I mean, I'm not saying the Niners offense, they definitely can run the ball. I mean, Garoppolo threw 8 passes in a playoff game, and Raheem Mostert ran absolutely crazy, but I don't see him doing that kind of damage. I mean, but the Kansas City defense, although it wasn't great in the Tennessee game, they did do what nobody else could do and slow down Derrick Henry. Some of the things, I think they got to be a little more disciplined. Like in the first half of that game, especially, they were jumping offsides all over the place. You know, they made their share of mistakes and share of stupid penalties, which I think they have to try to eliminate in this game. And also, I mean, in that game, when they slowed down Derrick Henry, it was Ryan Tannehill with, you know, one good wide receiver. Not that much, you know, if you could make Tannehill beat you, it was a great strategy here. Obviously, that's going to be the first thing that the Chiefs concentrate on is stopping the run or not letting them run completely wild. Their offensive line's real good run blockers and they can run. So that's going to be the Chiefs' main focus. However, when you stop that, it's a little bit different. I'm not saying Jimmy G's, you know, a Hall of Famer or anything, but he's a very capable quarterback and he has way more weapons at his disposal than Tannehill had. You know, George Kittle, obviously, the other tight end in this game, who's, I don't know who's the best in the league. It's one of those two guys. They're both there. And Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders, definitely two very capable wide receivers. So, you know, they totally focus on the run. Jimmy's got some stuff to go to. And I think he'll get some damage done to those guys. So I'm saying kind of similar to what I said in the other matchup, that the Chiefs' defense doesn't completely fail. It slows them down, slows down the run, but it has to commit a lot to the run against that offensive line and maybe gives up some plays in the passing game. So I'm going to give a slight win to the 49ers offense, which makes for an intriguing game now where I'm giving both offenses a slight win. I'm not saying the defense is going to get completely dominated, but if I have to say who's got the edge, I'm going to say that 49ers offense with those guys up front, the way they run the ball, and with their assembly of a good assembly of skilled position players has the edge over Spagnuolo's much improved defense. And also an intriguing matchup to watch. Maybe the matchup of the game, even though everybody's talking about the other side of the ball, will be Kittle and the Honey Badger. If the Honey Badger's kind of shadowing him, that's going to be really something to watch. That's two really special players who play the game with all kinds of intensity going head-to-head. It's salivating watching that kind of matchup. So that's matchup of the game, in my opinion, personal matchup, those two guys. But overall, slight edge to the San Francisco offense.
All right. What do you got to say, John?
When we dig deep into these matchups, it shows you how even these teams are. Like even given the edge to the KC offense, it's not an overwhelming edge. It's a very slight edge, and here I'm gonna I'm going to give a slight edge to the Chiefs' defense. Very improved. The second half, it's just like a totally different team than from was in the first half. And that's kind of following how Spagnuolo's career is going as a coordinator. He was a coordinator on a giant team that won the Super Bowl thanks to his pass rush. And also, he was the coordinator when the Giants gave up the most points in their history, and he had to be unceremoniously dismissed. So he's been very mercurial as a defensive coordinator. But he's got his guys rolling now with the front four with Jones and Clark, and they lucked into Terrell Suggs, who really, if you ask him, he was really hoping that the Ravens would have picked him up, but. The Chiefs made a good move by not letting him go there and picking him up, and now he's got a chance to get himself another ring. And I think they did play great in stopping Henry, and especially the front four. They didn't give up anything except for that one touchdown at the end where they foolishly gave up that fake punt and they gave up that last seven. Otherwise. They shut Henry down to 69 yards, and he only had a few carries where he had more than 4 yards. So I'm going to give the thinnest of the thin edge to the Chiefs defense, and Senior stole a lot of my thunder. I'm really going to be digging that Matthew George Kittle. Hopefully they get into a little collision or they have a nice battle. That's going to be interesting because Matthew's really stepped his game up too.
Agreed on Matthew Kittle. I think. You know, I think Senior did pose the question of which tight end's the best in the NFL, and I think it's pretty clearly Kittle, just because he's a
overall because of their blocking,
very much like
Kelce's more of a wide receiver.
Yeah, Kittle's very much like a Gronk 2.0 in that. I mean, these past two games, I think he's got one catch, and he's been just as valuable as another blocker on the line. I mean, he is a beast.
Yeah. He's been doing a more block, and maybe they're able to step up more as a receiver because they're not going to be able to run it down their throat like they did versus Green Bay. And also, kudos to you, Roger, because all year you were shitting on Green Bay's run defense, and it finally came to fruition.
Hey, it came to fruition in a big way. That was ugly. But to be fair.
Yeah.
A counterpoint to Green Bay's run defense was friggin' putrid. I mean, it was, you could drive a truck through those holes. It was awful. But San Francisco did run all over Minnesota the week before, too. Not quite to the same level, but they ran for 180-something yards against Minnesota, who is not a shitty, terrible run defense like Green Bay.
Yeah.
So they can do it against anybody. I really respect Kyle Shanahan as a coach. And I think like the last two games have kind of shown you he learned a little bit from that from the Super Bowl in that once he got the lead, I mean, it was bleed the clock. If they're going to let us keep running, we're just going to keep running. Because if you remember in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, I mean, with that lead, there was an analysis done where, right, if they would have just taken knees, they probably would have won the game. But he you know, he was hyper aggressive in that game, throwing in field goal range, getting knocked out of field goal range, yada yada. That, I mean, he's gone the other way. To if KC starts slow, I think they're in. I mean, I said this last week against Tennessee, but it really in this one, I think they're in big trouble if they fall down 10-0 or 17-0 or something. I mean, that's a tough hill to climb. What I do respect, like I said, I respect Kyle Shanahan, and I feel like, you know, he's gonna zag when everyone's expecting him to zig. So my prediction is the Niners, for the first time the Niners have the ball, is that they just chuck it downfield, just pass the whole way downfield, maybe even no huddle, because you know the Chiefs are going to be so geared up to stop the run, and Jimmy's a good quarterback. Jimmy's a good quarterback, and he's got guys who can get open who are, you know, frankly rested from not having any work for the last month. I like the Niners offense in this game, and nothing against the KCD, but I feel like the Niners offense is very diverse, and they're going to, I don't think you can stop both things And I think KC's going to sell out to stop the run. And I think because of that, you're going to see some big plays the other way. It's kind of a weird game where you're going to see the home run plays more on the San Francisco side than the Kansas City side. So that's my two cents. So it's a good segment.
I agree. I think they're going to come out gunning too.
Yeah.
I think they're going to come out gunning, but KC might be ready for them because they saw that in the Minnesota game when that first drive was all pass. So maybe KC will be ready for it. But I agree with you, Roger. I think that it's going to be the same as the that Minnesota game. I think they're going to come out firing and then try to dial it down.
Agreed.
Yeah, I have an interesting question for you guys. Because you both made the point that if the Chiefs fall behind 10-0, 13-0, whatever, that, you know, it's not like the other games, they're in big trouble. How about the opposite? Because I think that's worse. How about if the Chiefs get two quick touchdowns and get a lead? Is San Francisco built to be able to come back against this team in that game?
I mean,
I think that would be game over, I think.
I think it depends. If it's right at the beginning, I mean, then they can stick with their game plan. They're fine. The Titans' offense, like, really fell apart. Like, I mean, they got one first down. They went ahead 10-0, right? And then it was 17-7, and then they got one first down for the next, like, 23 minutes in the game. Something ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, the Niners can't do that. But, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Chiefs come down, score a touchdown, and then Jimmy throws a pick six. I mean, that's right there. I think they're a pretty mentally strong team. I think they're very well coached, and I don't think they deviate from their game plan that much if they fall behind. Now, if they're trying to come back from double digits in the fourth quarter, I mean, that's tough for anybody. And
no, I'm talking about early. I'm just saying to come back. You know, you're saying it would be tough for the Chiefs to come back, but to come back against the Chiefs. If they get a lead on you, you know they're going to score more points. I mean, it's really hard to come
back. But they also don't run the ball.
Because you're not going
to
just shut them down, you know?
But they also don't run the ball at all. Like, they're a team that'll let – I mean, to me, more so than the Niners, the Chiefs are a team that'll let you back in because they're – I mean, you almost saw it against the Titans. I mean, that game was way closer at the end than it had any reason to be. The Chiefs don't have that, you know, lineup. Take the clock down all the way to 1 second, give the ball to Damian Williams and he gets 5 yards. It's just not how their offense works. I mean, they're going to pass. And anytime you're going to pass, I mean, you're going to throw some incomplete passes. And for the Niners defense, I mean, if you just need a stop or two, you can get a stop or two. What I would worry about if I was the Chiefs is the Niners the last 2 weeks, once they get a lead, are going on these 8-9 minute drives, and I mean, they're just completely taking the ball away from Mahomes. Like, I mean, that's real. That's obviously their path to victory, right? Is to keep him off the field, and I mean, yeah, I think they can do it better than anybody.
Well, that's why the Chiefs D has to really stack up against the run. I mean, you can't let them have the ball for 10 minutes. You know, you've got to slow down that ground game.
Yeah, so
I mean, they did it against Derrick.
They did. I mean, I think they
can slow down the ground game.
I mean, one thing I'll say with the Henry thing is he started the game good, and you got to wonder a little bit if that just ridiculous workload finally caught up to him a little bit. And just the team as a whole, right? The team as a whole maybe got a little tired. And then, but to say they sold out to stop the run is an understatement. I mean, it was 9 guys in the box. I mean, they can't do that against San Francisco. Yeah. You know, I mean, you can't. I mean, they were just daring Tannehill to beat him.
Yep.
Kittle by himself is too good to do that against San Francisco. He'll eat him up. And Emmanuel Sanders is a really good deep threat. That's his bread and butter. And Debo on those screens and stuff. And Shanahan, I mean, I like Vrabel as a coach. But as far as an offensive mind, I mean, Shanahan would probably like nothing more than the Chiefs to stack the box with 9 guys for the whole game. Because, I mean, he's a very, very strong offensive mind who will figure out a way to beat that.
Well, it's a it's a matchup of strong offensive mind coaches. We know Andy Reid is definitely a great offensive mind.
It's a great segue, Senior. That's going to be my next thing I was going to talk about is, where do you guys stand on the coaching matchup?
It's a great coaching matchup, but, you know, I'm going to, I guess, I know, you know, they both had, you know, Kyle has, as a coordinator, has that Super Bowl game gas, and obviously Andy's had some clock mismanagement things in his career. I like them both, but, you know, when people ask me who's the second best coach in the NFL, because people around here, that's, you know, you don't talk about who's the best. In fact, you can't anywhere. But anyway, who's the second best coach in the NFL? My answer always is Andy Reid. I think he's a really good coach. So I'm going to give Andy Reid a slight edge. I like Kyle too, but I'm going to give it Andy Reid, maybe partially because of experience, so a slight edge in the coaching.
Man, I disagree with that. He's got to show me. I mean, he's had some really good teams and has been in these situations before and, like, consistently lays an egg. I mean, clock mismanagement. He did it last week, not being ready for that fake punt last week. Like John said, I mean, it was the most obvious fake punt in the history of football, right? I mean, what the hell else were they going to do? But I think Shanahan, I think his staff in general, I think Saleh is a good coach. I think the 49ers are... The way I look at this matchup, I think 49ers are the better coached team. I think they're the better. I think they're the better team. I just don't know if they can beat Mahomes because he's such a transcendent talent. Like, that's kind of how I look at the matchup. Is you have the pretty at least to me pretty clearly the best player in the NFL. Like, if you were going to do a, you know, a fantasy draft, right, where you know, you just put everybody into the pool. Pat Mahomes goes number one every time. The best player in the NFL against one of the better teams that we've seen over the last few years. It's really intriguing.
Now, not only do we say Pat's the best player in the NFL, I agree with that, but also the fact that he's got the perfect complementary group of skilled players to match his skill set with all that speed and a great pass receiving tight end. Makes him even more devastating. I agree. It's a hot. I've gone over this game a bunch of times trying to figure out who I'm going to pick to win, and it's really odd. It's a great Super Bowl. It's why we're looking forward to it so much.
John, why don't you weigh in on the coaching? Yeah, John is a coach historian.
I'm going to weigh in, and I'm going to take the guy who weighs a lot more. even though Andy Boy's proven to be a liability as a game manager in crunch time, I'm just going to – it's more of a hunch that he's – in this game he's finally going to learn from all his past mistakes, and he's not going to have any big-time gaffes as far as clock management or timeouts, et cetera. And I'm going to give him a slight edge. All right,
so that probably, you know,
experience.
I feel like we maybe have given away our picks here. So we've broken it down. So John, why don't you go first? Give us a score, maybe a tidbit or two that you think kind of how they're going to get there, and then give us your MVP for the game.
Even though I gave the Chiefs the edge to everything, it's everything is the slightest bit of edge. I have a lot of respect for the 49ers, and you can flip a coin. But then again, we've seen a lot of these matchups that are supposed to be close, and they turn out to be blowouts. Just a lot of crazy stuff happens. But here I'm going to say it's tight all the way, and KC 27-24. Real boring. Mahomes is going to get the MVP. I called it predictions. It's just the basic 27-24 with Mahomes as MVP.
All right. Senior?
Yep, I'm going Kansas City as well. Maybe slightly more high scoring, like I'll say 31-27. A really good game. Really hard to call. I mean, the only thing that would surprise me is if it's one-sided. I expect a great game. I certainly won't be shocked in any way, shape, or form if San Francisco wins, but I'm just going with that. That Chiefs offense is just so good that I think they're gonna it's gonna come down to some plays, and they're just gonna make more plays. They're just gonna find a way to get it done. Just too many. As good as the San Francisco defense is, just a great quarterback with too many weapons to cover and too much speed and impossible to contain. And I think the San Francisco offense is going to have a lot of success as well. Obviously, 31-27 could be one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time. I hope we're not disappointed, because that's really what I want to see. I want to see both teams perform at a high level, and I don't see any reason why they won't. So, yeah, great game, 31-27, and, yeah, of course, Pat's the MVP. I mean, that's easy. If they win, he's the MVP. Not much doubt about that.
Man. That was like the jinx. That could be the freezing cold take playback right now after somebody wins fucking 38-3. The greatest Super Bowl of all time. I hope you're right, man. I like the Niners. I've really gone back and forth on this all week, and ultimately, I just think they're a better team. I know, you know. KC's got a better fantasy team, but I think in the trenches, I just think top to bottom that they're a better team, and I'm going to pick the better team to win. I like 27-24, so just the opposite of John's score, and I like I think they spread it around a lot, so it's going to be one of those games that's going to be a difficult to pick the MVP. But how about Richard Sherman getting a pick to seal it, getting a pick or two in the game? So I'll pick Richard Sherman as my MVP, slowing down the Pat Mahomes Express. I think Mahomes will play great, and it's just not going to be quite enough. And I think Andy Reid may cost them that 3 points at the end of the first half somehow, but. That's my prediction. I'm like you, Senior. I hope it's a good game. It really feels like it should be a good game. You don't have any dark horse team in here. These were, as of now, the two best teams. I think a lot of us thought Baltimore and New Orleans were probably the two other best teams, but they both got knocked off. These two teams never had to play them, but you can only beat who's in front of you, and now they each have a powerhouse in front of them. So it's going to be a heck of a game.
Yeah, sometimes we ignore the kickers. So to throw a tidbit out there, I think the KC has got a little edge there too, with Butker's has been a lot more effective than Robbie Gould.
Butker's a great
Robbie
kicker.
Robbie Gould's had a great career, but this year Buckner's Harrison's been a little more impressive.
He is. He's a good kicker, and the Chiefs have good good return men. I mean, Hardman's a great returner, so it's going to be great. It's going to be an interesting game, so can't wait.
Yeah, I got an interesting observation on you guys. The thoughts just going through my head, maybe a little divine intervention. I noticed you guys both picked 27-24, and with the events of last Sunday, wouldn't it be something if it was 24-24 at the end of regulation?
You never know. 24-8. Yes.
That would be quite special.
You never know. You never know. It's funny how stuff in sports, things like that can tend to happen.
Things like that can happen. Yeah.
You know, the D Gordon. Oh God, I might tear up a little here. But the D Gordon home run the day after Jose Fernandez died, that's the one that really sticks out to me, because if you're a baseball fan at all, you know D Gordon's not hitting a lot of home runs, and I think it was his only one that season. And I mean, it was a no doubter first at bat of the game, and he cried his whole way around the bases. So it's funny how stuff like that happens sometimes. So there was a tweet before we go. Tom Brady had a real cryptic tweet about an hour ago. I don't know if either of you guys saw it. He was at the end of a tunnel going on to a football field. Now, is he going on to the football field? Is he leaving the football field? It was black and white. He didn't put any kind of context there. But... So, John, as a non-Patriot fan, do you think that's him trying to get some attention on Super Bowl week?
Go ahead, John. Yeah, somebody bought a house in Vegas. I see. Is that what you get? Is that the big story, senior?
No. The new story today was that he was in Nashville. So now they're talking to Titans.
Makes sense.
Oh wow. Okay. I saw something about buying out. Roger, yeah, when you were at the fights,
he was there. Yeah.
Wasn't he there with Gruden? Right. Didn't he meet Gruden at the fights?
And Mark Davis. Yeah, they were all there.
Yeah. They were talking contract, right?
You know, John, if he did that, it would almost be like Brady was like a listener of this show. And like he wanted to do the worst thing he could to me. Right? Because I said if Brady leaves, like, I don't know how Senior feels, but I'm probably how you would feel about Eli, John. If Brady leaves and he's playing against the Patriots, I'll have all sorts of trouble, like, rooting against Brady. Like, I just don't know if I could do it, right? But it's like, is he going to troll me by going to the fucking Raiders? Who I spent two full years just destroying every week.
The thought of him in any other uniform is really hard, but that definitely would be worse. Yeah, there's a few bad ones. Leo's checking in on us.
Jesus.
He's been sitting quietly for this whole podcast on my lap.
She doesn't want Brady on the Raiders either.
Yeah, he doesn't want Brady to leave either. That was I could tell from that reaction.
Oh, another sport in just bad day. Bad day of those kind of headlines around here, because everything we're hearing is that the Sox and the Dodgers are close, and I am going to be so upset about that. The Sox deal Mookie Betts. That's really going to bother me too.
I think it's a done deal, senior, which sucks.
Oh, that's awful. That's awful.
It's not really done. I'm saying I think it's done. I think it's going to happen. Don't. Please don't repeat. I'm not Woj bombing you. I'm just saying.
No, Buster Olney today said it's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's pretty good source. And I'm going to be, I'm not allowing myself to get completely pissed yet because it hasn't happened, but I'm going to be really pissed.
This week in sports, we'll be talking baseball soon enough.
Yeah, you guys got to prepare yourself because the guy they hired, Bloom, is—they got him from the Rays, and he's an expert at getting those cheap discount guys. He's an expert at getting those guys that were cut by 10 teams that don't make a lot of money. So get used to Kmart shopping.
Yeah, we're going to become the new Rays. It's just what I want, in our big market in Boston, you know. And as we say in the sport, where there's the haves and the have-nots, we're the haves. We're not supposed to lose a guy like Mookie Betts. You know, but what my, after discussing this with so many people, and there's a lot of Sox fans who are telling me they think it makes sense, which I think they're nuts. But if we're saying we're not going to pay Mookie Betts, well then, who in God's name are we going to pay?
Ooh, right, a superstar in his prime, sure.
I mean, there's no one. There's no one. And there's a spin thing coming, and it seems like it might be coming from Sox management that Xander Bogaerts is the cornerstone of our franchise. Well, I love Xander Bogaerts. He's a really nice player. But come on, Mookie Betts.
It's not Mookie, MVP. MVP,
just a unique talent, a perfect kid. Yeah. You know, a kid that you can't think of one bad thing to say about him off the field. A complete 5-2 player, just a unique guy, just an incredible talent, and what probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. And we're letting him walk because of money. These guys got more money; they're making more money than they know what to do with the owners. It destroys me. It really destroys me. Okay, I'm done with that rant. It's supposed to be a football show. Sorry, guys.
No, no problem. No problem.
No, we have to transfer to sports, so it's all good, senior.
Absolutely. So, guys, it's going to be a great weekend. I can't. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year. And then, like I said, I'm following it up Monday with a trip to Brooklyn for Suns Nets. So I'll be able to give you guys. I'll be able to give you guys a report on that. Who knew? Who knew that? Who knew I'd be doing that? Good stuff. So any parting shots, senior? Senior's taking the baseball bat to Red Sox management. They're bloody in the corner. John, you wanna shit on the Giants real quick before we go, or one last time?
Nah.
Odell Beckham, come on.
Odell.
John loves Eli.
Nah,
well,
he won the two Super Bowls.
Yeah, exactly. I love that part. 5 years too late. There was a lot of bad to go with it. So I'm not a totally a blind Eli follower. You know, there was a lot of bad with it. But anytime other than you guys, there's not too many guys I can say they have a quarterback with two Super Bowl MVPs. So we'll take that, man, and we'll focus on the positives. Man.
Very good.
Absolutely.
All of our fans, I hope you enjoy the big game. Feel free to reach out to us. We're going to be watching, so feel free to reach out. We'll talk some football. I know I have what I'm doing is getting a big wing order from Aruga's, a local place.
Yes.
Hanging out with with my nephew and my buddy Rock and. And we're gonna watch the big game, so it's gonna be fun.
Sounds great. Hopefully, it's gonna be a crack up for me. I think it's gonna be special.
Absolutely. And if not, we'll be here to talk about it next week. So, for the three-man booth, the permanent three-man booth, congratulations on your promotion, Senior. I'm the Cowboy. For John, for Senior, we're out of here. It's been a great week. It's been a great year, and we got one game left, baby.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and HistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.